Okay. All right, Kayla, thanks so much for coming in today and agreeing to meet with me. I'm going to read this oral consent form really quick, and then we can get started. The Department of Religious Studies at the University of Kansas is conducting a research project that seeks to preserve and provide a publicly accessible record of the history of various churches and other religious organizations in Kansas. We seek to collect as many stories, information, and documents as possible, with the goal of creating, over time, a major repository of information on all kinds of religious bodies in Kansas, past and present. We would like to record your memories of your experiences in religious organizations. We expect that each interview will take about an hour. We assure you that you are not obligated to participate and may discontinue your involvement at any time. Since we are trying to create a public record of Kansas religious history, we are primarily interviewing persons who agree to let their interviews be available to the general public through the Religion in Kansas Project website and to be identified by name as a person who was interviewed. Should you have any questions about the project, please contact Melissa Fisher-Isaacs and Professor Tim Miller. Awesome. Kayla, thanks again for coming in. I guess I just kind of want to start this off by asking just a little bit about yourself, about your family, about your childhood. So if you want to begin with that.
Yeah. I grew up the youngest of five children. Had my mom and dad. So total of seven. You know, and they just kind of grew. Like, they just loved and nurtured us and made us into great adults and kids. And yeah. Oh, funny story about five kids. So our dad was, like, super simplistic, so this is funny to me. I don't know if it's probably not funny to you, but we had, since there was five kids, he numbered us by age, and so the oldest was one, the second oldest two, I was number five, and so everything that was ours, he'd label our number. So, like, if we got a special food and nobody else wanted to eat it, we'd put our number on it. So, I'm always, like, five's, like, a lucky number for me because I always put that down as me, like, in the family. Oh, that's blah, blah, blah's number. And so, we always just have those as labeling us. Yeah, it's funny things.
Awesome. Yeah. So, what was it like growing up the youngest of five kids?
I mean, it was kind of... It's great because living in a big family, there's, and being the youngest, you have four other people to learn from their mistakes and not having to make those same mistakes again. And that's why everybody in the family always jokes that I'm way older than I am, which I'm very still immature, but but it's just because I've, like, grown up and and talking around the kitchen table with things that people in middle school were doing and what I was doing in kindergarten. Like, so I was being put into an older, situations, like, or talk, like, conversations at our house. And so just kind of, like, matured me kind of more. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. What about your parents? What kind of things have they taught you or... values have they instilled in you that you carry with you today?
You know, they always taught us just to love the Lord, and that is always a major thing that they'd always talk about, and they'd always relate that to some thing that happened or whatever that goes on in life. They'd have just Bible verses ready at their hand, and so, you know, just living a good Christian life, you know, and having that relationship with the Lord. And even when I was like 13 years old, and like I'm 15 now, but they'd always pray that when we were growing up, whenever they gave us bedtime prayer, they would always say, I hope that you just be with Kaylor, you know, and like the kind of usual thing. And then they'd say that you would show yourself to her heart, and that she would, like, realize you as her father, you know, like something along the lines of that. And it was like I already committed myself to knowing that the Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that he loves us. Like, I knew that and I believed that, But I still thought that was great because they still always said that, and that's why we didn't do communion until we they made sure that we believed that. So I didn't do communion until I was like 12, or no, maybe 11. I don't, something like that. But they'd always just wanted to make sure because it's a big deal, you know. It's not like you just, this isn't something to take lightly, but yeah, loving the Lord, is something that they definitely taught us, and just to be a hard worker and like moral values.
Awesome. So would you say that you grew up going to church then?
Well, yeah. Okay. Yes, I did.
And do you still go to church now?
Mm-hmm. I do. And it's kind of, it's cool to see how much I've progressed and throughout the church. Like, I started in children's church, and now I'm in the youth group and in high school, and it's cool to see, like, the church and how it just, you just progress into it and then, and stuff. And it's just, yeah, I mean.
What kinds of things has the church taught you?
I mean, just, I guess, like, certain biblical, just, like, knowledge, you know, like facts and history. That's definitely what we do in Sunday school. Now we're learning about how to defend our faith and looking at evidence that isn't in the Bible, like Tacitus and all those old scholars and archaeology of how, like, explaining why this is, like, actually true. And all the evidence does points towards it. Huge, like, in, when we were children, you'd go to Sunday school and children's church, and, you know, you just learned that history, and, you know, sing those songs, like, Jesus loves me, yes, he does, for the Bible tells me, yes, I don't really know the what song that much anymore, but, you know, you just grew up singing that, and you kind of just, you, like, believe it, and... Mm-hmm. I think that's a major thing why our church is a lot, like, different from other churches. I mean, I've never been to other churches, but, I mean, you can just see a difference in some, like, Christian, people who say they're Christians, and how people from Grace, their relationship is a lot more, evolved, kind of, and deeper, where in others you don't see that, and so they kind of, like, they bring you up, knowing that you have a relationship with the Lord and it's something to have and hold and stuff, so.
Awesome. So, yeah. So would you say that your family is pretty involved in the church?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Super duper. So my dad, is an elder at our church, and so that means he, helps make decisions, and kind of runs it. It's like, that's not like the president, but like, yeah, just the head people of the church. So he does make the decisions. And then he's on the mission team. And so they decide where the money will be given to, like, which different missions will be given to. And he loves working with children. And he's been a huge deal with the kids in our children's ministry. He works in... He is a teacher for the, I'm trying to think, for Sunday school right now. And he's just done that, like, ever since I can remember. He was my teacher in Sunday school when I was in fifth grade. No, it was, like, fourth grade, third grade. But my mom and my dad were my teacher. And my mom always runs our vacation Bible school. She's one of the head people with that. And... they're definitely involved, and they're a big part of the church, considering their positions and stuff. And everybody, like, everybody just knows us, and sometimes that's annoying, but, I mean, it's nice being, like, not having to explain yourself, but then sometimes you just get a lot of questions, and you're like, I don't want to explain anymore. But, yes, they're well-known, and they're just a huge part of our church, and, you know, everybody always just loves them, and we love them, too. And this huge thing that happened with my dad just recently... Should I explain this on the... Okay.
Sure.
Okay, so he had cancer. They found it, like, 2 months ago, maybe. And so then they had his left eye removed, and so having to go through that struggle and stuff, you just see the huge part of the church family, and you, a lot of times, like, you just don't, they, we wouldn't have, be having, like, reaping so many benefits from this struggle if you didn't, like, have the church family. I mean, if that, did that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, you
yeah,
can't,
that makes sense.
You just see so many people giving and asking and praying for us and giving us dinners, and that's because, I mean, they like us, I guess. Like, not to be snotty, but, like, they just, since my parents have helped out with all of them for 25 years or so, the mm-hmm. length the church has been opened, you know, they just get around and people know them, and they came to say thank you for doing this for us by helping us. Yeah.
That's
that was
awesome.
A long story, but
so would you say that your church has a strong, like, community tie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. I mean, I kind of talked about that. Sorry, I answered a different question. But, yeah, so, I mean, with what happened with my dad, you see all these people coming, and, you know, this, our church is, like, it seems, we just got a new addition, a new huge sanctuary, and it makes us, our church, look huge, and it's just, it's kind of weird, because, like, when people are like, oh, I know that church, it's a pretty big church, and to me, it's not that big at all, because I know everybody there, and I've grown up with a lot of them, and I, like, all the adults there, like, and their families were just great friends, and I just see them, like, I have a mom group of moms from our church that are friends with my mom, and they're, like, they're literally my second mom, like, I could go to them with anything, and that's great to have. Yeah, you just see it by, like, you just see this huge family, because, I mean, yeah, sorry, I just lost my train of thought, but, oh, here we go. So, because of, like, seeing, like, our church seemingly being big, it's really not, because you just, it's a huge family. I kind of just re-said
yeah,
what I said
awesome.
Earlier, but.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so, before this interview, we had talked about how, you obviously grown up in a Christian home, but tell me a little bit about your dad. You had mentioned that he went to a Mennonite church, and I'm going to talk to him later, but tell me a little bit about that. Did he instill any values in you that maybe he learned as a kid growing up in a Mennonite church, or did you guys learn about Mennonites mm-hmm. At a young age? Like, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so my dad, growing up in a Mennonite church, he was taught to, you know, they're hard workers, so you get your work done, and that was instilled into him, and, like, just, I'm gonna just go with the hardworking thing.
Okay.
Because that's the main thing that I learned, I guess, because it's so generic, but, so, yeah, growing up, my dad would always teach me to just be a hard worker and get your work done. Like, you're not going to be known, like, we're not going to let you be known to be a slacker. And so, yeah, he would always, like 2 years ago, maybe I was supposed to do some job, but I forgot about it. And because, I mean, I procrastinated, and I was like, it was late at night, and my dad started, like, I think it was mowing somebody's lawn or something. So he started mowing it, and I come out and saying, Dad, why are you doing this? Well, actually, it was after he did it, and he was like, I'm not going to let the Weeby name be known for slacking off or, like, not doing their work. So, yeah, definitely, like, being not lazy. Oh, here's another story. A lazy day. Okay, so, I mean, awkward stages in sixth grade, but I was, I would always, like, when I wore sweatpants, like, one day of the week, and so I called that my lazy day, and I was telling my dad about it, and he was like, no, you are never allowed to say the word lazy about yourself, and I was like, oh, okay, I won't, and so that was just, like, oh, he's serious, man. Business. I cannot let this, like, weeby name be put down. So, yeah, and I grew up learning stories about my dad's ancestors and how they came over from, I guess kind of around Russia, Prussia? It was Prussia, but that's not a country anymore. But, so they, like, yeah, I just would hear all these stories, and I'd do these projects in school, and I'd, like, I just loved learning about them, because it was like, I'm connected to this. This is where I came from. And so I learned how they didn't like war, so they moved to different countries, and this girl, not girl, she was a woman, she was a queen, the great Catherine allowed them to stay, but then the war came their way, and they weren't allowed to, I mean, they didn't want to be a part of it, but Catherine said that they had to. So then they moved away, and then they brought the red turkey winter wheat, I don't know how, which adjective goes before. Is it adjective? Is that an adjective? I don't even know. Wheat's the noun. Okay, never mind, never mind. This is what you get for interviewing a teenager. I don't know.
It's okay, this is great.
Okay, well, anyways, they brought that wheat over, and they brought the best wheat. They had their children go, like, pick out the seeds and say, pick out the best one, so they could bring the best crop to make the best crop over here. And that's why my mom would always say, this is why Kansas is known for their wheat production, because of the Mennonites bringing this over. Yeah, I mean, can you reiterate
the question?
Yeah.
What kind of things did you learn about Mennonites as a kid?
Okay, yeah.
So, about the red turkey wheat and mm-hmm. them coming to Kansas.
Yeah.
Any other stories that your dad liked to tell you?
Yeah.
Even about growing up in Hillsboro.
Oh, yeah, Hillsboro. Yeah, okay, so, man, I love Hillsboro. We would always go visit them because that's where my grandparents live. And I would love just going through the town and just seeing, like, I mean, it was a small town, and just knowing, like, my dad would tell stories of things he did in, like, this certain spot, and we'd always, there's a park right across the street from my grandparents' house, and we'd always go over there and play, and my dad, there's a little pond there, and my dad told me this one story where one summer he had to paint that bridge that went across the pond. And so, like, whenever I see that bridge, I'm like, my dad painted that, and I'm just so proud of him, and, yeah, and then, just cool, like, stories of him in high school, and teenage things where they do dumb stuff, but they're so cool, and, like, there's one of his friends, he was the person who delivered milk, throughout the town. And so he had to get up early, and through in the winter, he got up. My dad would tell that told the story that he got up early, and he went to go to the truck and to get the deliveries, and the truck did not go forward. Like, it started and it could back up, and so, I mean, like, being instilled with the community of Mennonites, he's like, I have to get this done because this is my job. You know, gotta do it. And so he backed the truck all the way around the town, delivering the milk, and, yeah, I mean, it's just, what? Like, that's not real. That didn't happen. My dad's like, nope, it did. So, just cool things about just old times there, and it's so interesting and cool, and, oh, I just thought of this. I was thinking of the Mennonites, in Prussia. And I was doing this thing in fourth grade about them. We were, like, looking up our meaning of their names. And so I looked up Weeby, and it meant war. Like, I don't know if this is actually true, but I'm pretty sure it was, like, some official thing. But I don't know if it was official. It was said Weeby meant war. And so I was like, oh, that's so cool. And then I later learned that, you know, they're trying to get away from war. Like, that makes sense, you know, like, war. So I was like, this is so cool, like, I know this meaning, because they're trying to get away from war. War was a big thing in their lives. War! Weeby! Yeah.
That's awesome. So, you, it sounds like you've been to Hillsborough then. Your grandparents still live there now.
Yes.
Did you ever get to go see the church that your dad grew up in, or a Mennonite church in Hillsborough? And what was that like?
Yeah, I went to a church, their church once, but I don't think it was like a Mennonite church, but it was a lot of, there wasn't a lot of like old people that still had like who could speak low German and like were like very modest and stuff, but there was like a lot of new people. But I mean, it still had that like small town feel, you know, it was really new. So it's kind of different, but you can kind of see, like Christian lives and their faith being filled out or whatever, that makes sense. But it was kind of old because their music, it wasn't like contemporary music like we have at our church. It was like old, like hymns and that were sang by a choir. I was not used to it at all, but the church that my dad went to when he was a kid, we'd always drive by the where it was because it burned down. So I never got to see the church, but, he would always talk about the church and like things that happened there. Can I tell another story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, one Christmas, we weren't in Hillsborough, we were here, but my dad was telling a story of him, like, after the children's program, what do they call that, Christmas program, at his church, is the one that burnt down. So that after that, they'd go run back to their houses, and what would be waiting for them, I don't know if this is the right story, but I mean, no, it's the right story, sorry. But there was bags filled with one orange, a little peppermint candy, and some other thing that wasn't, like, a candy deal. So it was very, like, low, like, not what you expect today. Like, you get these huge presents or whatever and lots of candy. And so they'd get these bags and they'd all, like, run to their homes to get them. And they'd, like, try and beat each other. Not beat up each other. They tried to beat each other to their houses and see, like, get them because they had to run to get their bags. And so then he'd always talk about how all the grandparents were, like, speaking in low German and, I just lost my, saw some birds. So they'd be speaking low German and, like, talking about them, and my dad didn't know what they were saying, but it was just, and, like, he made us do it. Like, he'd made us run up the hill by our house and come back to our house. We got this bag, and he didn't tell us at first what was in the bag, but he told us after we got it, and we were like, what is this? And it was just kind of weird, because we weren't used to that simplicity.
Yeah. So you're saying that your dad, when he grew up, he lived a pretty simple life in terms of possessions, would you say? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it wasn't like they were poor or anything, right. But... like, you don't have a lot of, like, I mean, back then, nobody had a lot of, excess of what we have today.
Yeah. Would you say that your dad tries to live kind of simple now, or?
Yes, okay. He definitely got that from, living in that small town and having Mennonite parents and stuff. yeah, he... is a tightwad with money. He does not let us go spend a lot of money at all. And he, when we have extra junk in the house, he just hates it so much. And when we have, like, even with food, when our fridge is just full of food, he'll sit by the fridge and take everything out and just, he does this, like, sigh. It's not a sigh, but like a groan sigh. I don't know how to explain it. But he'd just be making, he does that noise all the time whenever he's talking about money or excess, and he's like, oh, my goodness. He didn't say my goodness, that's my part to it, but yeah, I mean, we were raised up, and my mom always jokes how she does a lot for what she's given, and she, like, we know there's other families that just were, they buy dresses for their daughters every year, like, for those, like holiday things, like, they'd get pretty dresses, and they'd have they just have dresses and nice clothes and a whole a closet of good essentials that most like girls need. But we never got that. And so my mom always blames my dad because we don't have these clothes because my dad just doesn't want to spend money on them. So
yeah. You'd say that's probably something he learned.
Yeah.
From growing up.
Mm-hmm. They weren't going to buy a lot of extra clothes and stuff, but yeah.
Would you say your dad's pretty hardworking still now?
Super duper. I said super duper again. but yeah, instead, when he works, he goes from early in the morning when I get up for school at 6 and leave at 6:30, and he's leaving about the same time as I am. And then he comes home at, like, 7 or 7:30, and it's just like, what? How do you go that long? And you can see it when he's helping other people and, like, doing jobs around the house. He wants to get the things done, and he is very compassionate for other people. And so he gives up a lot of his time helping them, and you just see how, like, I don't know how he does not get, like, he doesn't sleep that much, and he does a lot of things. It's like, how do you do that? I do little, very much, I don't do anything. Well, I do stuff, but not that much, and I still have to get a lot of sleep, but he doesn't. And I don't get it, because he just does a lot of things for us and for others, and he puts his time into putting others' needs before his. And that's one major thing, one characteristic of him is being humble that way and not wanting, like, not taking things for himself. He always looks out for others. So that's one thing I definitely learned from him, too, is not being all about you. And I definitely see that, like, going through high school, it's like, I don't want to talk about myself right now. And, like, that's why I'm not used to everybody asking me how I am after my dad's surgery, because it's like, I'm not used to, I don't like having this, because I don't like having attention on myself, even though it's not, like, it was my dad who got the surgery, but everybody still asked me. Yeah, I'm sorry, that kind of went off topic.
But. No, that's great. So now looking back, I mean, you're 15, so you still have a lot of life to live, but...
Yeah.
Are you thankful for your upbringing? Are you thankful to have grown up going to church and learning about Jesus? But then also with your dad's background, the way that maybe the values he's instilled in you because of that. Are you thankful for that? Do you wish it was different? Or
I am very thankful for it. And I don't want to change anything about it. Well, one, because... You know, the Lord tells us that this is, like, my plan for you, like, and I know that this is, I'm trusting the Lord that this is going great, and it is, and I love that I was brought up this way, and that I had a huge family that wasn't super extravagant and fancy, because I don't want that, and I love being simple in life, and just caring about relationships and talking more than... being stuck up on an iPhone. Like, my parents are never going to buy me an iPhone. That's not going to happen. And I'm very glad for that, because I just bought myself an iPod, but I have this old jank phone, and it's like, I like having a jank phone, because I don't like texting, and they always tell me, like, you're wasting your life on that, and, like, growing up now, when I was younger, I didn't think that at all, but growing up and, like, seeing this, and, like, being able to use technology, I definitely see it, and I can see and, like, feel myself getting away from other people. So being able to grow up with a mindset of we're not gonna have this excess of, like, we're not gonna put, I'm trying to think of the right word, we're not gonna spend money on other things, and so I've, like, definitely learned to spend money on wants and not needs. I mean, no, spend money on needs and not wants, sorry, but yeah, and, like, I grew, growing up on, like, a tightwad dad with lots of money, I mean, not wanting to spend lots of money, I have this, he always would teach us to count our money, and so like, I know now to save my money and not, like, not spend it on stupid things. And so I'm trying to recap. So money, I've learned about what, like, how to spend my money and not the excess of it. And I'm trying to think. Can you talk about the question again? Then I'll get more ideas flowing. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. I just was asking if you're thankful. With
sorry.
The way that you were raised.
Yeah. And like having this, being a Christian really helps just going through the struggles of life. And I always ask myself, I don't get why, how other people can go through life and not have Jesus, you know. I don't get it at all. Like, what, like, how do they calm themselves down, and how do they see that life is gonna be okay? Like, it's when I know I have a life after this, whatever happens, and I know that if I make mistakes or anything, that I'm forgiven, and that's, I don't know how I wouldn't be able to know that. Like, how do people go through life knowing, making mistakes, and, you know, like, do they forgive themselves, or, I don't get it, if that makes sense, but.
Okay.
I know that life is good, and that the Lord has plans for me, and so that's a huge basis of me being able to get through life. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, do you have anything else that you'd like to share? Just about any of that?
I mean, not many, not much. I just keep on saying I'm so thankful for this, because yeah. I'm just, right now, I'm just like, thank you, Lord, for giving me this, and especially, like, giving me you, because you're a great, important part in my life, and that's good. I'm trying to think of adding more stuff. But
that's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much again for meeting with me and telling me a little bit about your story.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah.